Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Do you recognize this sound? That's a stylus riding a groove on a vinyl record, a format that some music lovers will chase across town and across the country. St. Louisan Tom Papa-Ray, who's been running vintage vinyl in the Del Mar Loop for more than 40 years, has a television series dedicated to exploring record stores all over the U.S. Season 2 of Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow premieres this Saturday on 9 PBS at 6:30 p.m. And here to talk about that and the series as a whole is none other than its host and executive producer. Papa Ray, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Well, you know, as a wise man once said, one good thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain. And hopefully, music's a good healing feeling for all of us here in St. Louis.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Tom, you know, the person or the question that is that you ask at some point in the conversation during your series, and I'm sure that this also comes up at Vintage Vinyl, is one that I'm going to ask this time because I'm the host. What was your first vinyl record? And, you know, to give the listeners a sense of how you ask that question, you can name the first vinyl you remember listening to, the first one you ever had, or the first one you purchased. What was your first one?
I think the first music I listened to, of course, was on the radio. The first vinyl I ever listened to was an older relative had Beethoven's Fifth, and the first album my mother bought me was when we were visiting relatives in Charleston, South Carolina, and it was a record called Atlantic Gold Soul Volume 2, because I was very, very much a fan of singers such as Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett and James Brown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, James Brown. So you said Volume 2. Does that mean that you went and found Volume 1 at some point?
I didn't have to.
Oh.
Because, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up during a time where Top 40 radio, especially down south, would literally play Bo Diddley and James Brown right next to a country record by Marty Robbins. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that entire sort of musical democracy was available on the airwaves when I was growing up.
So having your own copy then, is that part of what made you decide to start offering records for other people to buy?
Well, I started in the music business in about December of 1975. I was just about to graduate from Webster College, and I was offered a job running the jazz department at the Peaches on Hampton. So I had that moment saying, do you want to go to grad school or do you want to be in the music business? Mm-hmm. And it went from there.
Yeah. Do you remember the first vinyl record you sold?
I can't say.
Okay. Do you know how many you've sold over your lifetime?
I can't say.
Oh, okay. Or won't say?
I have no idea. But there have been multitudes.
Mm-hmm. Why is that question about the first record people have bought such an important one to you?
Well, to begin with, when you ask that question and you're looking at the person you're asking that about, so very often you can see in their face the room of memory open. And it's not just the first time they heard the record, but it's also what was going on in their life. What were they doing? What was the time and place? And then you can tell that it makes people suddenly remember that moment.
Mm-hmm. Have you found that it does open people up in a very unique way?
Well, it's like they are, you know, letting you know something about who and where they are,
mm-hmm.
because music really is like a fingerprint. If I look at somebody's record collection, I may not even meet them, but I know something about them. I know a lot about them. Their generation, perhaps their gender, where they grew up, how they grew up, their socioeconomic, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm. I got to watch Papa Ray, the premiere and the finale of season 2 of Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow, which, as we mentioned, is going to be premiering this Saturday on 9 PBS. And unsurprisingly, there's a very clear bias toward vinyl as the best medium to listen to music. And the shirt that you're wearing today is covered in records as well. You know, in a nutshell, maybe a 45-inch sized nutshell, what makes a record superior to other ways of listening to music?
It's more warm. It is not a digitalized process. And specifically with 45s, let's say back in 1960 you were wanting to get a hit on a record you put out. Well, that was going to be played on car radios. And if you remember, those car radio speakers were about 4 or 5 inches large.
Mm-hmm.
So you really had to make that 45 sound good because you were wanting people to have that positive reaction to the music you were giving.
And a CD, or as you mentioned, in a digitized form, what is lost with that media as opposed to a record?
Well, you know, CDs are great. I think they're wonderful for cars. The whole thing of, you know, having an iPod and listening, that music and that sound is so compressed. It's not giving you, so to speak, your entire aural meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all on the plate, so to speak. In fact, for me, I've been, you know, I'd be riding with somebody in a car and they had their iPod going, and I'd start to get a headache, and I didn't know why, and then I realized it was because that music I was listening to was so compressed,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it was messing with my biorhythms.
Okay. Are there certain digitized versions where you can say to someone, if you compare what you're hearing on the CD to what you're going to hear on vinyl, there is a marked difference? Are there any examples of that come to mind?
Sure. The next time you're in a club, watch a DJ with a laptop get followed by somebody that's playing vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very, very least, playing files that were loaded in real time from their vinyl library. There's a marked difference, and, you know, it's just much more of what I'd call a aural wallop,
mm-hmm.
for the listener.
And is there more texture then?
Yes.
And that's actually what I do enjoy, is the texture that comes from listening to a record album versus, you know, even a cassette, which seems to be coming back, or to a CD. When you talk with people about vinyl records, and the relationship that you have had with them over all this time, you know, you started and have sustained an independent record store here in St. Louis. You've produced 2 seasons of Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. What do people tell you when you go across the country about why these folks also have a special relationship with vinyl?
Oh, my Lord. Whether it's in Brixton, London, or whether it's in Seattle, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just a relationship as a listener to that particular medium. And I would just say that, once more, to go back to the analogy to food, you know, I like to have a full plate.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like on your plate? What kinds of music do you find yourself listening to most?
American music, although there's music certainly that's not American in origin that I find interesting and fascinating. But, you know, something to put a glide in your stride, a dip in your hip.
Mm-hmm. You've traveled across the country to talk with record store owners about what is unique to the in-person experience of going to and being in a record store. Some of them also include performance spaces. And the first season of your show has been nominated for the Mid-America Emmy, so congratulations on that.
Well, actually, we got two nominations.
Oh, okay.
For the first episode about St. Louis and for our episode going to the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
which has an incredibly impressive vinyl culture in that nation. And, you know, very, very typically, those stores in England never quit carrying vinyl for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Because people were interested enough in that medium?
Because whatever their viewpoint on CDs, you know, the vinyl was the mothership.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Tom Papa Ray, who's the host and executive producer of Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. The second season of that premieres this Saturday on 9 PBS at 6:30 p.m. In going across the pond, what did you learn and feel there that you brought back and introduced to the way that you traveled to other record stores in the United States?
First off, the very, very deep appreciation and love that UK listeners have for American music. So often here in St. Louis, I'm thinking, you know, I know every seven-year-old in Vienna knows who Mozart is, but I seriously doubt very, very many seven-year-olds in the St. Louis area know who Miles Davis is or even know who Chuck Berry is. So the appreciation for music culture is very pronounced there.
Mm-hmm. Being able to travel, I understand that you were approached in the past about doing TV shows, you know, at Vintage Vinyl. You were not down with the approaches that they had in mind. What convinced you to do this show that you're doing? And was the road show and being able to travel really the thing that convinced you to move forward?
Well, the first ideas for a TV show were along the lines of a quote-unquote reality show where the record store would be the backdrop for what I would call the mating habits and behaviors of 20-something people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was extremely impressed by the fact that not one of the employees at Vintage Vinyl wanted to be any part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going, oh, they get it.
Right, you chose the right ones.
And to that producer who wanted to do that, when he said, well, what do you want to do? What do you see? I said, well, tell me this. What does it mean to be a independent record store in a city that has given the world incredible music? And yet, unfortunately, after Ferguson, some folks are going to see us as the Selma, Alabama of the 21st century. What is the relationship of music to culture? What is the relationship of culture to music? And yeah, that question, what was your first record?
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we credit someone else, your wife, Laura, who is another executive producer. What did she have to say about the show that you're doing now? What is it that made it something that she wanted to pursue?
Well, first off, as she so correctly has put it, you're the brand, I'm the brains.
Okay.
And that's absolutely true. This TV show would have not existed if it hadn't been for her tireless efforts and her talents both as an editor and as a salesperson. When we very first met, I think she was impressed by the fact that I never mentioned to her anything about my background except the fact that I was, you know, working at the store on the Del Mar Loop. And as we got to know each other, you know, she sort of realized and got reminded of the healing feeling of music and what it can do for people.
So it sounds like one of you is the record and the other is the stylus. Without the two of you together, we don't really get the music.
I can go with that.
Yeah. So in asking the question about the first record, have you gotten responses from people that have led you to music you had never even heard anything close to before?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
But I did have a great incident with a 17-year-old. And once more, you know, every generation throws its heroes on the pop charts, as Paul Simon once sang. And I was, when I asked that individual what music they liked, she said, "Oh, I love big band music," which amazed me. And I said, "Well, what got you into big band music?" And she said, "Well, first off, I heard Nat King Cole's trio recordings. And after that, that was it."
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, this is one old, either a very precocious person or a very, very old soul.
Mm-hmm. Something, the big band thing is really funny because I can kind of relate to that, having discovered that when I was a high school student. I have found that people who don't listen to vinyl or maybe don't own a record player, that there can be a level of intimidation about the medium or just really not knowing how to maybe care for their records. What is it that you say to those folks? How do you get them to your side?
Well, everybody's got to dip their foot into the pool for the first time. And in general, it's not so much about persuasion, but, you know, a little bit of education and a little bit of display, so to speak. But I may ask somebody, you know, what have you heard lately that you really like? And from that, I, you know, might refer to something that's a brand new release. I might refer to something that, you know, has been around for 40 years. So, you know, how to put it, it's musical therapy.
Mm-hmm. Papa Ray, in season two, who is a character or a moment that viewers can look forward to?
There's a number, but I would say the visit to the store by Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC, who was just a wonderful delight to interview, and who was who came there with a St. Louis native who has been Run DMC's traveling DJ since 2010, and talking about my old friend Charlie Chan Soprano.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing that Daryl said to me on camera was, "If it wasn't on vinyl, it's just not final."
Mm-hmm. Why does that resonate with you?
Well, in the context of what we were talking about, it resonated because we were, I had said to him that, you know, we couldn't have had hip-hop music in the late 1970s without the medium of vinyl. And that continued on into the 80s because it allowed people who had a musical interest, who had no access to studios or to a band or this or that. Vinyl was the sonic medium that allowed them to create a new approach to music.
Mm-hmm. How did you see that play out at Vintage Vinyl?
Oh, you mean as far as hip-hop?
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the music business in Manhattan in the latter part of the 70s, so by 1977 and 1978, I was aware of this youth music called hip-hop that wasn't disco, but it was what the kids in the five boroughs were listening to. And when I got to St. Louis in 1979, I turned on the radio and I heard a great radio personality, the late Dr. Jochenstein, doing an afternoon show he called Roll Call, in which he would be playing one of the old Sugar Hill rhythms and would have teenagers call in, and he would ask them a question in a sort of syncopated style, and they would answer back, you know, like, well, what's your sign? Well, say, what's your school? And I was thinking in 1979 of July, wow, this has already penetrated to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, the very first hip-hop record ever played on commercial radio in the world was played in 1979 in East St. Louis at WESL.
Mm-hmm. Bit of history.
Mm.
And history-making. So that is the finale of season two, where we meet DMC. Is it too soon to know whether there will be a third season coming?
We've already had a request for a third season. We have already applied to the Missouri Film Corporation Commission that has been very, very supportive of our efforts. And we definitely are planning to start shooting the third season in November.
Mm-hmm. Is there a place you would like to go to already in mind, or a theme that you want to explore for season three?
Several places, including the island of Jamaica and the nation of Japan.
Mm-hmm. Why those two?
In a lot of ways, Jamaica to me is sort of, how to put it, culturally, it's this little piece of wire in between the Western Hemisphere and Africa. When you go to Jamaica, all forms of American music are very, very popular, whether it is hip-hop or, for that matter, Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamaica is just a very interesting place. It's a very musically intense place. As far as Japan, there are some amazing record stores there, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it's a new, new location for us.
Yeah. Tom Papa Ray is host and executive producer of Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow.
Along with Laura.
And Laura, Laura Ray. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, have a musical day.
Season 2 of Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow premieres this Saturday, October 4th, on 9PBS at 6:30. You can catch the show there every Saturday for the next 6 weeks.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.